What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and often interrupt our daily lives. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, nearly half of teens between the ages of 13 and 18 have a mental disorder. The Not Okay app makes asking for help as simple as pressing a button. Hannah Lucas, struggling with depression herself and with the help of her brother, Charlie, created an app for other teens battling with mental illness. Hannah joins 411 Teen this hour. First, an update on the news.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via phone is Hannah Lucas. Hannah Lucas is a teen preteen. After becoming severely depressed and attempting suicide, and with the help of her brother, Charlie, Hannah decided to make a change. Unable to find an app that could help, they took it into their own hands and created the app Not Okay. According to the National Institute of Mental Health Counseling, 1 in 6 adults live with mental illness, and nearly half of the teens between 13 and 18 have a mental disorder. The Not Okay app makes asking for help as simple as pressing a button. Hannah, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Talk to us about how your depression first. We'll start with that. How long had you been struggling with depression?
Well, I struggled with anxiety forever, and after being diagnosed with a chronic illness last year, I really suffered with depression after being bullied and even threatened by kids at my school.
Okay. And how did you handle that, particularly bullying?
Well, for me, because my condition causes me to faint or pass out, it was terrifying because if those kids really went through with their threats, then it wouldn't really end well for me. And I just lived in fear, and I didn't know how else to translate my fear or depression. So I started self-harming and even attempted suicide at one point in time.
Share some of for the listening audience and for teens who may be in similar places as you have been, can you share some of the symptoms or some of the experiences you were having that during this high stressful time?
Well, the key symptom is in depression is feeling that you're alone and having those thoughts of loneliness and isolation. That's one of the key points that both men and women deal with. And for me, I felt alone and I isolated myself even more. And I mean, depression really lies to you. It tells you that nobody cares. But when I finally overcame the loneliness and the feeling of loneliness and not trusting my friends and family around me, and I actually opened up to them, it really changed because I noticed that a lot of my friends also felt the same way, but we didn't trust each other enough or we didn't feel like we were close enough to talk about it.
So what I hear you saying is that you noticed that you were not alone, and a lot of your friends may have been experiencing similar anxieties or similar feelings of loneliness, and just you all did not communicate it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. In addition to this, the anxiety and feeling alone, were there other symptoms that you were experiencing? For example, were you having any difficulty in school? Did you lose interest in things? And I say all this again just to help those teens who may be listening or parents who may be listening and may want to get some better insight into what is happening when someone is depressed.
Well, another one of my symptoms is I felt disconnected from the world. I stopped caring about school as much because, I mean, I just felt numb. I didn't really care about anything, and I isolated myself again. So I lost interest in school. I drowned myself in sports, basically, because I felt like that was one of the only things that I was good at. And I had a lot of difficulty focusing because I was so numb that I didn't really care about anything.
Did you find that you had any additional pressures? Maybe pressures coming from, if you say you lost your interest in school, so then I'm sure you were pressed and stressed about school and your performance in school?
Yes, it got to a point where I was so stressed out about my school and about my grades that it got to a point where, like, it was so overwhelming. I gave up and I just stopped caring. I'm like, well, if this is what it feels like, I give up. I'm just done.
Mm-hmm. Did those around you notice what was going on? I mean, were there any comments made? And I say those around you, I mean your family members or even your friends or even teachers. Did they recognize that you were going through some changes?
I don't think any of my friends recognized it, and definitely not my teachers. My teachers just saw me as, you know, that sick girl who's always passing out and disrupting class because of her illness.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, they thought I was just sad that I was that sick kid and that I was diagnosed with chronic illness. And my parents, it took a long time for them to accept that mental illness is real and that I suffered from it and that they probably suffered from it. It took them a long time to finally accept that even though you can't physically see a mental illness, it's definitely there. And so my parents didn't really see the signs of that until my mom walked into my room one night with a pile of pills in front of me.
And how did she respond?
Well, initially she completely freaked out and almost screamed, and then she realized what was going on in my mind, and she took a look at my arms and saw all of the old cut marks, and I'm sorry.
Well,
it was just seeing her face, in my opinion, seeing the look of horror on her face was the worst for me. And when she saw everything, she ended up holding me in the end. Hannah, everything's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make it through this. And, and I did.
Well, I appreciate you sharing this. I know it must be very difficult, but what you have shared may help someone else who may be in your, you know, a similar situation. Given that you were going through all these changes, you had this depression, you were feeling isolated, alienated, no one cared, no one understood, what interventions did you use? I mean, when your mom recognized what was going on, I mean, she was there at that moment and was very supportive. But what did did you go to counseling? Did you go to groups? How did you address what you were experiencing?
Well, after my mom finding me, how she found me, she finally decided it was time to listen to what the doctor said and take me to therapy. So I started going to therapy, and that therapy really helped me to open up and learn that it is okay to not be okay, basically, because people treat physical illnesses, and if you have a broken bone, somebody's going to come back and reset it for you.
Your friends in school, did they feel like it was a physical illness, or were they aware that it was a mental illness? Because if you're talking about you passed out, they could have easily been thinking it was a mental illness.
Somebody just came in the room. What were you saying?
I said, your friends at school and your teachers, when you were experiencing the passing out, okay, how did they interpret that? Did they see that as a physical illness or a mental illness? Because you were saying that depending upon how one interprets what's happening, that depends on how they're going to respond to you. And that a physical illness, you get one response, and a mental illness, you get another. What kinds of responses did you get?
Well, I did, in fact, have a physical illness. Because POTS is a physical illness, my teachers just reacted, and every time I walked into their classes, my teachers just, when they saw me, their eyes instantly changed from joy to pity on me. And that really had a big impact, because my entire life I've been taught to be, that I have to be strong. I've been taught about mental toughness, and that, you know, when you get older and when you're an adult, you have to take care of yourself. So what frustrated me the most was the look of pity in their eyes, because everybody just saw me as a disabled girl, even though I can still walk and jog and do normal things. I'm sorry. And it just wasn't the same.
Okay. You said the intervention of counseling and therapy really helped. What was it particularly about the therapy that you found most helpful? Why was it so effective?
Well, initially, I came into therapy because my POTS specialist thought it would be a good thing for me to start talking about my illness and the effects of illness at school. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally went, honestly, the first time I went in there with an attitude. I was really sarcastic with the therapist. And in the end...
And why do you think that was going on? Why were you in that? Why did you address it in that way?
Well, personally, you see TV and you see all this social media, and the stigma is so strong against mental health. Every time you look, or every time mental health or mental illness is addressed in a TV show, it's most likely in a psych ward. And I didn't want to be that crazy person you see in TV who has to be in a straitjacket. Because back then, when I thought of mental illness, that's the first image that popped straight into my head. Until my therapist, she said, "Hannah, I think you're dealing with depression and anxiety." I'm like, "You're crazy." "No, I'm not." And then when she showed me pictures, and when we started talking about it from a more scientific level, because it's basically just a chemical imbalance in your brain, it felt more like a physical illness to me, something that I can treat, like a bone being broken. It's physical, and nobody's going to shame you for that. And when I saw my mental illness as kind of a physical presence, it really changed the way I thought about it and the way I talk about it now.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. I'm talking with Hannah Lucas. Hannah is the creator of an app, Not Okay App, and it makes asking for help as simple as pressing a button. Hannah, you still there?
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing this, and you talk so much about having a mental illness being such a stigma. How did you overcome that? I mean, that's a very accurate perception, and I know that a lot of people struggle with that. And can you share how you have overcome that worry of it being a stigma?
I'll never forget the day I went into my therapist's office, and she had these diagram printout of all the chemicals in your brain. And when she started talking about depression and anxiety as a chemical imbalance, it clicked in my head like, oh, okay, I don't belong in a psych ward. Oh, okay, so this is normal. Okay, this isn't as bad as I thought. And the more I researched, and you know, whenever you get a new diagnosis, the first thing people do is Google it. Even though, you know, your doctor has been to a med school and knows a lot more about it, you still like to self-diagnose because, you know, you're somehow smarter than the doctor. So I, of course, Googled it, and I found out that, yeah, okay, it definitely is a chemical imbalance. Because, surprise, my therapist was right.
Okay. So there was some credibility that was established there, huh? Now, I know with the development of this app, they said that your little brother, Charlie, helped in the creation of the app. How did that evolve? What happened?
So morning after I came up with the idea for the app and I had this idea, I was just talking with my family about it, you know.
Where'd your idea come from? I mean, why this app? Why was it necessary?
Initially, I created this app for me
because
I am a child with a chronic illness that causes me to pass out, and I was worried that
Tell us about that.
I passed out and nobody was near me.
Tell us about it.
It was just a panic button that I would press, and it would instantly send a message to my mom or a couple of my friends, hey, Hannah Lucas is not okay, along with my GPS so that they could find me. And the more I talked to my therapist about it, the more she said, yeah, this is, you need to use this for your mental illnesses. And I'm like,
Share with us about this chronic illness that causes you to pass out. That'll help people listening to understand what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness called POTS. It's postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And it deals with my blood pressure. So I have super low blood pressure, low blood volume, which means I just don't have enough blood in my body. So I have to drink absurd amounts of water and eat more salt so that it holds the water in my body.
Okay.
And so if I stand up too fast, the blood will just drain from my head and go straight to my feet. And it will cause me to pass out.
Okay. And so that is where, for those listening, that is the basis of this depression that you were experiencing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just for them. So go on and finish with Charlie and how he, what role he served in the evolution of this app.
So when I told my brother about my idea for an app, he's like, okay, look, I've been helpless for too long. Most of the time, I don't even catch you when you pass out. So I'm going to build you this app. And he actually, for years, he's been teaching himself how to coding or how to code. And so he actually wireframed the app. And a wireframe is basically a prototype app that you send to developers to show them exactly how you want the app to look and how to function and work.
Okay. So that was the first step of the process of your app creation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And how long and the reason I'm going through this is because individuals who may be interested in developing an app, I mean, you have so much that you can share in so many different ways. I mean, you know, you can talk about your depression, and that's something that many teens suffer with, whether they recognize it or not. You can talk about being an entrepreneur, because how many hits have you had on this app now? What, is it over 26,000, have I read?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yeah.
Almost 1,000.
Okay, so you can talk about that. So the first step was he had to send the prototype out, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then what happened?
Then we had to find a developer. Okay. And when we found a developer, they started working on the app.
What did that involve? How did you go about finding a developer?
Well, in my case, I went to a business class over the summer for, you know, summer camp. And when I told them about my idea, they're like, yes, I have children. They need this on their phones. I will 100% help you find a developer. And the professor teaching that class actually helped me find the perfect developers.
Okay.
So it was pretty amazing.
And Hannah, how old are you now?
I'm 16.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in 10th grade currently, but going to 11th.
Going to 11th, very, very soon. Hey, do you thought about being an entrepreneur? I mean, what has been your career interest?
Well, as long as I can remember, I've just never been a person to think about getting a job. Initially, I've always thought about getting a job, and then I'm like, oh, I don't feel like working for someone else. Because, you know, I want it to be on my timeline, but it can't be on my timeline if I'm working for someone else. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just start my own business. And it's just the way I've been thinking ever since I was a little kid. Because, you know, I've always been bossy, so why not?
Okay, so you were a natural entrepreneur. That was the direction that you were going.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. What kinds of suggestions, clues, would you give to others who want to start their own business, no matter what it is, okay? What would you tell them they need to do?
Honestly, people just need to go for it because there are so many brilliant ideas in this world that never get created because people have this idea, but they never go for it because they keep doubting themselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest thing would just be go for it. Honestly, get a patent or a copyright or whatever you need so nobody else can take your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And really just see where it takes you in life.
Now, have you gotten a patent or a copyright? Or are you in the process? Where are you?
Yes, ma'am. We have gotten our copyright on the code, but sadly we cannot get a patent because it is not a feasible product.
Okay. And what was the process of getting a copyright? What did you have to go through?
I completely forgot. I'm sorry. I'm in school mode still.
Well, that leads to my next question, because how do you juggle school, your entrepreneur issues that you may have and demands that you may have? How do you juggle friends? You know, you have to have some social life. How do you juggle all of that at such a young age? Because you're talking about, you know, what you're really talking about is time management. And that's a very important skill. A lot of teens have problems with time management, being able to fit everything in that day.
Yeah. Before this app, I used to have an awful time management skill. But ever since, you know, it's just been a necessity that I've needed. And I just kind of have to force myself to do schoolwork, even though I don't really feel like it all the time.
Right.
But I've learned that the faster I get it done, the more time I have for other things. But at the same time, I don't sit down and get all of my work done at, like, all in a couple hours because I still need breaks because, unfortunately, part of a symptom of my condition is having trouble focusing. So I still do take breaks occasionally, maybe watch a quick episode of one of my binge-watching shows.
Well, you are truly phenomenal. I mean, given the demands of your condition, again, and school, and your entrepreneurship, that the fact that you have been able to successfully juggle all these says a lot for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, tell us about using how does the Not Okay app work? Walk us through the process.
So what you would do is you would go on your phone, open up your app store on your phone, whether it's the App Store or Google Play Store.
Mm-hmm.
You would just open it up, search up Not Okay. That's N-O-T, okay.
Okay.
And then it's usually the first one to pop up. And so you would download it, and once it's done downloading, you would sign up, enter your email address and a couple other things. And then once you're done signing up, all you have to do is subscribe, and then you can actually go through your contacts list to pick and choose up to 5 trusted contacts that you want to be on your trusted contacts list.
Okay.
And then whenever you're feeling not okay, all you have to do is press the not okay button, and help is immediately on the way.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. So the contacts list that you have established with not okay are friends or family or whomever that you feel particularly close to and that you can trust.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you put them in the app. And when you are not feeling okay, when you are stressed, when you are going through whatever the changes are that you may experience, then you just go on that app and punch or connect with one of those contacts that you have identified.
All you have to do is go on the app and press the button, and the contacts will receive a message. It's, "Hi, it's Hannah Lucas, and I'm not okay. Please call me, text me, or come check up on me," along with their GPS location, so that if needed, the trusted contacts can actually go drive to go find them.
Oh, wow. That is really unique. And it sounds like it is really efficient. How many times have you used it yourself?
Yes, ma'am. A couple times at school. Mm-hmm. As I still have POTS, and mm-hmm. I'm getting better with managing my symptoms, but I'm not all the way there yet. So whenever I do feel like I'm about to pass out, it gives me the perfect amount of time to whip out my phone, press the button, and then I'm lying on the floor passed out. But I know that my mom's on the way because she's received the alert, and she knows where I am.
Wow, that is very impressive.
Thank you.
I applaud you. That really is great. What words of wisdom would you offer teens who may be, you know, interested, again, in developing a teen app of any kind? Because that seems like it would be very effective.
The one word of advice I would give anybody if they're thinking about developing an app or even starting their own business mm-hmm. is honestly just to go for it. And if you hear kids at your school talking trash about you because you're doing something and they're not, just honestly just ignore them. Because in the long haul of life, in about 10, 20 years, they're going to see you rise up. They're going to wish they hadn't said those things, but that's going to be their problem and not yours.
Well, I'd like to explore that a little bit more because, you know, that really takes some inner strength to be able to do that. As we often say, talk is cheap. That's real easy to say. But to really put it in motion, to be able to just, you know, ignore when somebody, like you said, is talking trash, to be able to do that requires a certain amount of discipline on your part or the individual's part, whoever. So I'd like to explore that a little bit more. How did you get to that point? Because often individuals may feel very bad. They may feel, but they may become depressed. They may become angry. They may not handle their feelings appropriately. So what have you learned? What have you done? What has helped you to get to the point that you can just ignore it and move on? Because I'm sure you even know that it's easy to say that, but it's another thing when somebody is talking about you and, you know, belittling you, demeaning you, to be able to handle it and just move on.
Well, personally, I've had a couple personal experiences with friends, unfortunately, mm-hmm. talking about me. And at first, I stressed out about it. And then, especially when they found out I was doing everything with the app, they targeted me even more.
And how did you feel? I mean, talk to us about your feelings. How did you feel when that was happening?
My first initial reaction was to feel unvaluable. When I started analyzing that feeling when I saw them at school and they gave me that fake smile, I started thinking about it. I'm like, hold up. Am I really stressing over people who don't want to be my friends?
Because
mm-hmm. okay. if they really were my friends, they would be supporting me and helping me, and they would want to be a part of it. why am I stressing over people who don't want to do me any good? That's really pointless, Hannah. And I just got to that point where, I mean, it just didn't make sense anymore. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You do you, boo. I give up on you. Mm-hmm. You have fun. You'll watch me rise. And unfortunately, I hate to say it like that. However, if you keep talking, if you keep acting like that with different people, it's going to affect your life in a drastic way when you get older. You can get away with it now, but when you turn to an adult, it's not going to end up well unless you end up at Love and Hip Hop or something.
Were you getting any outside counseling or therapy when you were at this point in your life? Because just for you to be able to determine that that should be the way to go on your own says a lot about you.
Well, thank you, first of all. And I was supposed to be going to counseling, but we just got so busy that we didn't. And honestly, it's something that you have to learn yourself, because for as long as I can remember, I've always heard my parents tell me, don't worry about what people say, honey. You do you. You're fabulous. But it never really sunk in until I had to learn that the hard way.
When we come back, I'd like to see, and I think you've touched on this a little bit, the role your parents played, but the role that school played. You know, were there maybe religion played in helping you to cope with this? You're tuned into 411 Teen. I am talking with Hannah Lucas. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me on the phone is Hannah Lucas. Hannah is a dynamic young 16-year-old. She is a sophomore to be a junior in the fall in high school. Hannah is talking about her experiences with her app and coping and dealing with negativity. Hannah, you were talking about how you were able to just recognize that you needed to ignore what was going on or just not address what others were saying. You know, before we went on break, you mentioned how your parents would just say, oh, don't pay any attention to them. Were there other entities or other individuals that helped you to get where you are?
There definitely were. Besides my parents, there was, of course, my little brother. As long as I could remember, we've always been thick as thieves. And so when I told him what was going on at school, he is now a black belt. And so when I told him what was going on, he's like, okay, Hannah, I could take him. Let's go. And I'm like, Charlie, it's about five kids. Stand down, buddy. And he's like, I got this, Hannah. Like, no, Charlie, you're good. And even my best friend, Summer,
okay.
We've been best friends ever since, like, first grade. And so when I was talking to her about it, she just like, okay, Hannah, but I'm your best friend, not them. So why do you care what's going on?
Ah.
I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess you're right.
So you did have support from other significant others in your life.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, I applaud you. You are one dynamic young woman. And I'm sure
Thank you so much.
Yeah. In these last few minutes, you know, people describe today as teens as teen titans. I mean, teens are taking a stand, standing up for each other, demanding change. You know, we look at that March for our lives, look at the social conversations, and now we have you creating a lifeline for teens struggling with mental illnesses and making a real footprint. So again, much respect to what you're doing. When you think about...
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. When you think about all the changes that you have had to endure and all the hoops you've had to jump, again, what advice would you offer teens? I mean, I think you are a wealth of knowledge because you've been there. It's very easy for others to sit back and tell you do this and do that when maybe they haven't really experienced it. But I think what you can provide to teens and parents and schools, you know, is invaluable. And what I'd like to do is to look at that aspect of it in this last section of the program. First, what kinds of things would you say to parents? Are there things that they need to look out for that they might be aware of that their teen or their child is experiencing some distress? They might be in duress. They might, you know, be depressed, whatever. What kinds of things would you tell parents that they need to do or they might be aware of?
If anything, I just want the parents to know, just take it easy on your kids. Because my parents, they were interesting last year. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. No, I love them. But... because they didn't know what was going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I always had this image of my parents, and it was just difficult for me to talk to my mom. And I never wanted to until she caught me with a pile of pills in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just awful because until that moment, I didn't think that I could talk to my mom. I didn't think that I could trust my mom or my dad with that information because they don't talk about things like that. Sure, they talk about school safety and, you know, if there's ever code red, please take care of yourself. Be mm-hmm. careful, Hannah. But they don't talk about what's going on in your head.
Why do you think that is the case? Because often your teens will say communication is a real problem. Communication with my parents, getting them to understand and to hear me is something that I don't think we do well. And you were saying the same thing, but it seems like things have changed and you feel like your communication has opened and it's you can be very candid. When you look back, how did you get to that point? What kinds of things helped you to be able to open up to your mother, to open up to your father, and to kind of share your innermost thoughts or fears or what's going on?
Before my mom caught me, mental health is mm-hmm. not anything that my family talked about
mm-hmm.
before
okay.
My attempt. It's just something that, yeah, sure, we talked about in school, we did studies on it, health, but it wasn't really real until my mom caught me. Just thought depression was just kids being sad, and, oh, Hannah, don't worry, you're just melodramatic, you'll be fine. See, you're still alive. But it's more than that. It really is.
How did you feel when she would respond to you in that manner?
Well, personally, it made me feel like something was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It made me feel like I was going crazy. It made me feel like I was dealing with something that didn't exist. Like I was fighting an invisible battle. It was really one of the worst feelings.
So those are things that you would say to parents, telling them
yes.
to just kind of be in tune with what's going on. I guess another thing you would say is it's hard to listen with your mouth open.
Yep.
So they need to be able to listen to you. Now, what about the school? I mean, you talked about some of the changes that you were going through. You know, you had no interest anymore at school. You kind of withdrawn from your friends. You were feeling very lonely and kind of sad. You weren't very enthusiastic or had no energy. When you look at school, and that's a place where you spend a lot of your time, what suggestions would you offer the parents at school, or PTA, our teachers, our, you know, what kind of suggestions would you make to them that maybe might make a difference when you're at school? When I say parents, I meant teachers instead, really. But what suggestions would you make to them? If they have a student whose performance has changed, maybe they were a good student and they've gone to being lethargic or indifferent. What would you say to them? How should they handle it?
Well, I would definitely say to those teachers just to ask the kid how he or she is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just really
okay.
Take a minute. Don't just say, hey, how was your day? Good. Mine was good, too. And just go on with your day. Like, sit down with them, have a conversation, and say, hey, your grades are slipping a little bit. Is everything okay? But don't just focus on only the grades.
Right.
Like, don't make them feel like it's the kid's fault. Because that's a really big part of it. I'll never forget it when my Latin teacher last year, he sat down with every kid in the class and looked at their report card, talked about their grades, and really showed to the kids and even myself that, you know, he cared. He cared about our grades, but he wasn't going to hassle us if, you know, if they didn't change dramatically or something. But, you know, he showed that he cared, but it wasn't too much.
What about your therapy? You had individual therapy? Were you in group therapy? What did you have there?
I was in individual therapy.
Mm-hmm. And you found that to be very helpful. You didn't
yes.
do anything else. Were there any other resources that you utilized? I mean, you know, were there any books that you read, any groups, any organizations, anything that you did online? I'm just trying to get all the, I'm picking your brain for all the things that helped and really made a difference and helped you to turn around for someone else who, again, may be listening and may be going through this very same thing and haven't found that particular intervention that may really make a difference. Yeah, they're just kind of bordering on the edge.
Yeah. Well, for me, I dealt with like kind of a two-step process.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I was in therapy, and therapy helped me realize that, okay, mental health is something real. It's something that I need to watch out for. And it made me comfortable talking about it. And then once I got comfortable talking about it and dealing with it, I went to a life coach. And
okay.
she was kind of, she wasn't necessarily a therapist, but she helped me look at myself in a better way. She didn't really put up with any of my nonsense like my therapist did.
Give me an example when you say she didn't put up with your nonsense. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Okay, after I felt comfortable talking about what was going on with me, it almost turned into a pity party where I was like, whoa, it's me. I have depression and anxiety, and it's real,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what to do with my life, and this and that. And my life coach was like, okay, Hannah, chill out. Like, you need to calm your butt down. And she didn't put up with any of that, whoa, it's me crap.
Okay.
And she sat down with me and she actually made me do a really thorough search inside of myself of what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, to help me get to know myself better and stop lying to myself.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that you found that life coach to be very helpful.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And would you recommend that life coach?
I would definitely recommend that life coach.
Okay. So individuals need to also, in addition to having their therapist, possibly have a life coach or someone who serves that role.
Definitely.
Okay. We have a few more minutes, but I have some more questions. But before we get to those questions, I'd like you to share again about your app, because that's what this is about, how people reach it and what they do, just briefly, for those who may need that app. That app may make a difference in their life. So it's the Not Okay app, and tell us again what we need to do, okay?
The Not Okay app is available on both the Apple Store and the Google Play Store.
Okay.
When you download it, you would sign in, enter all of the initial information, like your email, your phone number, and such. And then once you're finished signing in, you would subscribe.
Okay.
We do have it to where it is now a 2-week free trial, and then you could subscribe for $1.99 a month to the app. But once you're subscribed, you can add your trusted contacts. You could add up to 5 trusted contacts. You could just scroll through your contact list and add them to make it so much easier. And then whenever you're feeling not okay, all you have to do is press the button, and it will instantly send a text out to all of your trusted contacts with the text saying, "Hey, it's Hannah Lucas, and I'm not okay. Please call, text, or come and check up on me, along with your GPS location, so that if they do have to come and get you, they can."
Wow, Hannah, again, I applaud you. I think that is just simply fantastic. When you look back on this experience, and its ups and its downs, what has been the most rewarding for you?
It's hearing other people's response to it. Is hearing how it affects other people's lives. That's definitely by far my favorite part. It really is.
Oh, okay. All right. How has this experience influenced your future? What does the future hold for you, and how has this experience influenced it?
This experience has showed me that I'm strong, and that I can really do whatever I set my mind on. And it showed me that I can push through and I can make it through. And I think it's definitely given me so much more strength and grit, so that whenever I face a challenge in the future, I can look back on this moment and just really think. And think about how strong I was and be like, okay, I'm strong. I can do this. God is within me. I am enough. So I can be confident.
What words of wisdom would you offer those in similar situations? What kinds of things would you tell them to do or not to do? That may be very helpful.
A word of wisdom is, don't make any life-altering decisions. If you're going through a tough time, that's something you definitely want to avoid. Don't make any life-altering decisions in that moment. Take a minute and cool off and really assess the situation logically and even pray about it. Because personally, I'm a Christian and I believe in God, so I would just take a minute to pray about it and do what you feel God wants you to do.
Hannah, I'm very impressed with you. 16-year-old who's really got it going on. And I really want to say thank you for sharing your experiences with us. To my listening audience, thanks for your ear and your time. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.